Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by yet another expert with considerable experience in matters involving the Congress, in part to take stock on yesterday's extraordinary outcomes of the elections as they bear on both what the likely future direction of the Senate and the House of Representatives. She is Dr. Elim Poblet. She served for two decades on the staff of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, including as its chief of staff and staff director. She held a number of other capacities and positions in the Congress. She is one of the preeminent experts on congressional oversight of foreign affairs, and it's always a pleasure to have her with us. Welcome back, Evelyn.
Thanks, Frank. It's definitely a good day. A good day for freedom and a good day for conservative principles.
Well, and I really want to talk with you a bit about the application of those principles, if Congress properly understands its mandate. In previous conversations with some of our other guests, there's been some mulling as to whether or not there will, in fact, be a sort of new conservative, well, majority and direction coming out of the Congress as it relates to foreign affairs. What do you think?
I think there will be. There won't be the dramatic shift that was palpable in the 94 elections when we had the contract with America and we had these very clear parameters. But despite what the pundits have said, that foreign policy played a minimal role and that the significant concerns of the American people were the economy, it stems also from the economy and from foreign policy. There is that linkage. And what do I mean by that? Well, there was a general concern throughout the nation about the management of this administration. There was a general concern about the security, that sense of what are we going to leave behind for the next generations? And it transcended beyond just the very narrow domestic economic concerns, beyond unemployment. It was the general sense of security and that general sense of what America stands for. And what does that mean going forward for the Congress, especially in the Senate? They realize that they have only 2 years, and actually perhaps even less, a year and a half, to send a statement to the American people going into a presidential election that they made the right decision in shifting that power balance and in the need to have the legislative branch exert itself and do what it is constitutionally mandated to do.
Look, I can completely agree with your analysis of this. Let's talk about some specifics. Talk a bit about Iran. I know you've been very exercised, as we should be, about Iran's presence in our hemisphere. There's also this deal that the president seems to be intent on cutting, no matter how bad it is, with respect to Iran's nuclear weapons program. Give us a sense of what you think the Congress might and should do with respect to both of those aspects of the Iran policy brief.
Well, I've already heard from a number of sources in both the House and the Senate that the fact the Republicans gained control of both chambers in the Congress on the day that marked the anniversary of the embassy takeover and the taking of our hostages by the Iranian radicals was not by coincidence. And they view it as a galvanizing force. And there's already rumors about using the National Defense Authorization Act to tighten some of the language that was in the House-passed bill, language relating to the requirements that must be met before the administration can sign off on any sort of deal with the Iranians. There's also discussions about putting prohibitions on the use of funds for any further negotiations, whether through the P5+1 or at the UN or through the IAEA, towards a nuclear deal that accepts any form of uranium, any form of enriched uranium, that accepts maintaining the rest of Iran's nuclear infrastructure. And it clearly states you must dismantle. We're not talking about temporary suspensions. You must dismantle all this program. So there's already conversations about that. And with Iran and the hemisphere, the GAO report, in one sense, I view it as a missed opportunity because it wasn't an independent report on the threat, but it's very valuable because it shows the frustration, the fact that it clearly noted that the Southern Command, the military command, as you all know, responsible for the Americas, was one of the dissenting voices in the report that the State Department submitted last year. It gives those who are concerned about Iranian activities in the hemisphere that tool, that hook that they need. And there's language in the defense authorization bill having to do with providing SOUTHCOM the assets and the resources and the investment that they need to address the transnational threats, to address border security from the southern perspective, and to address Iranian activities in the hemisphere. So there's already talk about this.
Ilim Probut is our guest, formerly was a senior member of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, including its staff director for a time, working very closely with its then chairman, Ileana Rosleitanen. And I know she has been very engaged on these issues, and you've underscored the Government Accountability Office study that really found the administration very derelict in administering, you know, sort of any kind of countervailing force against what the Iranians are up to. And you've underscored the importance of the defense authorization bill. I hope we get one. Its future status is a little unclear in the lame duck. Let me turn quickly. We're going to run out of time long before we run out of topics to discuss with you, Lim. One of the very, very troubling pieces of the administration's stewardship of foreign policy at the moment is another that I know you're very concerned about and very experienced in, and that's the U.S.-Israel relationship. Talk about what the new Congress might do to reset that policy practice at the moment.
Well, for starters, you'll see the movement of legislation that has been lagging because the administration has been blocking it. And what you'll see is an increase provision in certain military equipment and certain systems that Israel needs to fully prepare against a potential Iranian attack, and not just a potential nuclear-related attack, but any sort of asymmetrical attack. What you'll also see is a full support of Israel at the United Nations. There'll be that countervailing force, to use your Reagan term, and boy, do we miss him. There'll be that countervailing force to the administration when it comes to the funding for the Palestinian Authority. There'll be that countervailing force for Palestinian efforts at the UN Security Council with respect to the Israeli settlements, because there will always be that threat from elements in the House and the Senate about funding U.S. Contributions or withdrawing the funding of U.S. Assessed contributions to the United Nations across the board, unless there is a sustained effort in support of Israel and to repel Palestinian efforts at all multilateral forum, in addition to just the bilateral.
Ilim, I'm afraid we are out of time. I just want to make note of the fact that we have the spectacle as an example of this miscarriage of U.S. policy under the Obama administration towards Israel, of it having its representative tell the Supreme Court that Israel's relationship to Jerusalem is comparable to Russia's relationship to Crimea. This is really, it's scandalous, and I hope will be repudiated by the new Congress. Ilim, we have to leave it at that. I want to salute your piece at most recently I've seen at thenationalinterest.org on this business with Iran, and the point that you make of citing Machiavelli, that addressing these identified problems later when they've metastasized is always worse than sooner. Your counsel on these matters is greatly appreciated, as is your past service. Keep it up. Come back to us again, if you would, very soon. Next up, we will be speaking with Dr. Peter Pham about developments in Africa, what we might learn from the West Africans on how to deal with Ebola, and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.